the English and Martial Arts Podcast Show.
How you doing? The Habbo radio station everyone loves.
I love them a lot.
Hello and welcome to the English Martial Arts Podcast Show. So, what should I talk about today? Because lockdown means that most days are the same, one day after the other. I even lose track of the names of the days. But I think it's an essential thing, but who knows? I'm not an expert on COVID-19. And, well, this is just an update, really, of things that have been going on with the English martial arts. But we've been, all of our group, although we're in lockdown, we've all been in touch with each other through our Facebook groups, and we're all continuing to train in whatever we can with the space available. Now, I'm quite lucky. I have a space in my office, and it gives me enough room to practice cudgel, quarterstaff, knife, unarmed, etc. So at the moment, I'm sometimes doing 6 days a week of training, and other weeks I'm doing 2 or 3 days a week of training. Depends on what I'm doing, really. Because although it's lockdown, I'm still quite busy. I mean, I have 3 podcasts that I have to do episodes for. This is just one of them. I also have to train. I also have to keep track of what everyone's doing. So, you know, plus I have to do all the stuff around the house as well with my wife. So, in keeping everything up to scratch, which means we are pretty busy because we're getting to do loads and loads of jobs that we didn't have time to do before the lockdown. So we're getting lots of things done. Just had a complete overhaul and redecoration of my office. So that took 3 or 4 days with all the decorating and the new furniture and everything that goes with renovating somewhere. And now it looks terrific. Really, really nice. Loads of space so that I can train, as I said before. The main things I'm concentrating on with my training, especially at home, is the cudgel or sword single, the quarterstaff, dagger, and unarmed. Obviously, the unarmed is a solo thing for me. I can't continue to grapple. So all I can practice are my striking techniques, my footwork, body mechanics, or everything that goes with a striking martial art, guards, stances. So, and especially the principles, trying to abide by the principles, even when shadow boxing or shadow fighting. But I'm getting there. And it does take a lifetime to master these. Well, if you do ever master them, but it takes a lifetime to practice these systems and try and get everything right, especially when you're a teacher and you're trying to give the skills to other people. I mean, a lot of that depends on them as well, how dedicated they are to training. Rather than talking about it, they can actually do it. And you've got to drum in the principles and make sure they obey the laws of these principles. And it's quite hard sometimes, especially when you're in a lockdown situation. So I'm just concentrating on my own training while I'm here and just keeping in touch through the groups with the other people, other maesters, other provosts and other students. I've also been concentrating a lot on what we're going to do when the archery starts at the barn, because I actually shoot horse bows, and I'm really looking at the arrows, going into the history of the arrows and making my own arrows. At the moment, there's been a long pause between the start of when I was making a set of Manchurian arrows to now. It's been like 3 months or so, but I'm going to carry on and get the set made. I had to wait for feathers and everything like that, you know, and they're going to have their own sawn in knocks rather than plastic knocks, trying to make them as authentic as I can. And when they're finished, I'm going to try and make an absolutely authentic quiver that a horsebow archer would have used. So I'm going to have to get some very expensive leather dyes, etc. So that's going to take quite a long time as well. I've actually got some good thumb rings. Practicing with a low poundage bow so that I can actually use my own thumb rather than a thumb ring, so I can harden up the thumb so I can get that to work without having to put on a thumb ring. But I know that's a long, hard journey. But over the years, I have done lots and lots of body conditioning and hand hardening, body hardening. So it's a pain I'm used to. So I can get through it, I think. In fact, I know I can. So carry on. I've also been doing a lot more research on the English broken back sacks. Obviously, I'm not going to go out there and start telling people what I've learned because there's so many experts out there. You know, you can never please anyone. So I'm just going to keep it to my own research from my own amusement, really. But yeah, I've learned a lot of interesting things that may or may not be out there. And because it's my pet study, I suppose, the sex, I just love it. So that I'm trying to learn every single thing I can about it. And the sheaths that they went into, the handles, lengths of handles, how handles were pressure bound on rather than pins used. And I'm also really interested in the sheath, why they were rested edge up, very much like a Japanese katana and wakizashi. Obviously, it was to stop the blade resting on its cutting edge. But the thought behind it is what I'm trying to get at when I'm looking at evidence, because it's so hard to find any evidence. I mean, most of it's been rehashed over and over. You can find it on the internet. Even when you talk to curators of museums, they don't have much of a clue about the sacks. It's, you know, not its origins, but the mythology around the sack, you know, the length of handle, blade, the kind of sheath, how the handle was bound on, etc., as I've said before. So it really is a treasure hunt. You don't know if you're going to find information or not. And if that information you find, if it's actually real or just some conjecture made up by someone and it's happened to get on the internet or into a book. So that's another thing I've found I've got time for. I've also started reading again, which is, I forgot how good it was, you know, just sit down and read a book and lose yourself in the story. And because I didn't have time for that before, I was listening to audiobooks, which I still am doing. But that took up most of my, say, free time when I wanted to listen to a story. Rather than read a book, I listened to an audiobook, which I'm going to continue to do. But I'm also picking up books again and reading them. That's another thing that this lockdown has caused me to do. I mean, the diet's not going very well, as usual, because I carry a bit of weight, always have. But the training's going really well. So I'm not too worried because I'm getting stronger, faster. You know, it's just because I'm not teaching, and most of my time at the training went on teaching, but now I'm training for myself. You know, it's coming back, the speed. Even though I'm 55 years old, the speed's coming back, the strength's coming back, everything is coming back, even the attitude. Because when you train a lot, and train and train and train, you get that attitude that, you know, come and have some. And I'm getting that sort of attitude again, so that it's going to make my teaching better, because I'm hungry again and I'm going to make the teaching like that so that the students get that way as well. You know, it's not a hobby for me. It's a lifestyle. So, you know, it needs to be taken seriously and it needs to be taught seriously. I've especially liked training with the dagger because it's such a lovely, short, deadly weapon. I mean, most times you could probably use it and the person wouldn't even know you've got it until it was too late. That's the way that it was looked upon. You know, a dagger fight or a dagger duel, as it would be, it wouldn't be dagger fighting, it would be a dagger duel if you met another person with a dagger or another weapon. You obviously, it's more of a duel than it is a fight. I mean, but the dagger is such a simple, straightforward, deadly weapon, and it's everywhere. You know, even you can pick up really, really nice daggers for not a lot of money in or from shops like the Night Shop. And you can look at their array of daggers, and there's something to suit everyone's taste. I mean, I've got an English dagger. It's about 16 inches long, double-edged, really, really nice. And that's what I train with. And it moves lovely. It's so aerodynamic. It's terrific. Really lovely blade as well. Of course, it's a historical replica, and that's exactly what it is, a replica, and a very, very nice one it is too. Really, really historically correct. I love it. And it is part of a collection of historical replicas that I collect because of the art I do. But you can still train with these weapons. Even though they're not exactly right, the weights are off, the balance is off sometimes. You know, you can't help it because a modern smith, you know, doesn't really understand the mind of a medieval smith. I'm not saying I do, but obviously they don't. I mean, I'm quite lucky. I used to work for a museum that had hundreds of these weapons, and I held lots of them, lots and lots of them, from daggers right up to two-hand swords. And I can tell you that the modern replicas, weight-wise, really don't match the originals. Anyone, right? They do not compare. No matter how much they scream and shout saying they do, they don't. And I have swung some of these weapons about, and believe me, they are beautiful. The replicas are really nice. I wouldn't put them down and say they're not worth what they charge for them or anything like that. But they are just that. Remember, they're modern replicas. The only person I know is the person who owns Arms and Armour. He used to come down to the museum and he was allowed to weigh, measure the blades, so that when he made them, he tried to get them as close to the original as possible. So Arms and Armour, there's a place for you. Another place I really like as well that match the weights really well is Armour Class. They're a Scottish company, but they're just so good and affordable. It's ridiculous. I've got a Saxon sword from them, and it's just wonderful to use, you know, when training. Well, I'm just rambling on at this moment. That's all I've got to say, apart from I'm going to be doing some home videos for training to put on the net. I'm going to be doing some solo videos on stance work, on weight distribution, on centre of gravity, you know, all the things that people find boring but are essential to get right before you can start to use a martial art properly. Thank you for listening, and if you enjoyed this episode, please tune in next time. Thanks, and bye.
Listen to us, because we listen to you.